You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
All right, so we have been working our way through the Beatitudes. I know, where's Stan and Kim when you need them? Working our way through the Beatitudes, and so we started out with Jesus saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Went on from that, "Blessed are those who mourn." Is that next? Oh, man. I had them all in my head there. Let's read them just to make sure. Yes. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, there are certain words in our language and in our society that seem to have lost their meaning because they've been used so much and been used for so many different things that they kind of lose their meaning a little bit. So for example, the word love, right? Because I would say, "I love my wife. I love my children. I love cheesecake. And I love music by John Foreman. And I love hot showers." Now, those are not all equal, right? But we use the same words. So it's like, okay, that's a little weird. So maybe that word has lost a little bit of what its original intent was. But take the other end of the spectrum. You could say the same thing about hate, right? "I hate injustice. I hate when I see oppression in the world. I hate Brussels sprouts. I hate when the boys leave the top off the toothpaste. I hate when Michelle goes to bed and she doesn't straighten the covers first and she just covers herself up and it..." That does happen. But they're not all equal, right? I don't worry so much about the covers as much as I do about injustice and oppression in the world, right? And so begs the question, if a word can mean anything or everything, does it mean anything, right? So today we come to one of those words, the word peace. As Jesus comes and he talks about, "Blessed are the peacemakers." So what does it mean what do we think of? What comes to mind when we talk about the word peace? A few suggestions this morning. What I call the Christmas card peace, right? The nice snow-covered scene. It says, "Peace on earth." It's very warm and, well, cold, but you know what I'm saying? Like, tranquil. What about the, protester piece? We can all sing it together. "All we are saying, give peace a chance." Okay, anyway. So, right? There's the slogan piece or this kind of piece that we see on signs. You see all when there's protest. What about bumper sticker piece? This one here. Or you might see, this one wasn't a bumper sticker, but it's the same kind of thing. You know, peace in the Middle East, right? I've heard that for so long. You know, it's like, okay, well, what exactly does that mean? Or there's this kind of piece right here. It's like, "What is your platform? I just want world peace." What does that mean? I mean... what are you going to do as Miss America? "I'm going to work for world peace." And I'm going, what are you going to do? You know, because, I mean, it's been going on for a long time here. We got to, anyway, sorry, get off that soapbox. What about this kind of piece here? Anybody remember this guy? "Can't we all just get along?" Okay, if you were around when the whole Rodney King thing was going on, I remember my friends and I making fun of it. We were always, anytime anybody got into a fight at school, it was like, "Come on, man, can't we all just get along?" And that was, okay. Again, that's more for me, apparently. So when we talk about peace, can we even have a conversation about it? Because there's so many different terminology, there's so many different ways that we use this word that it's hard to even talk about it because we're not necessarily sure what we mean by that. Because sometimes we think about it, and we hear the word peace, and we think of peace as, you know, the absence of war, no more war or no more armed conflict. And we think, okay, well, that's peace. But if you think about it a little bit, what about there's other violence that is done that doesn't use weapons and doesn't use fists? What about violence done with words? If there's still that kind of violence going on, is there really peace, even if there's not armed conflict? What about violence done with laws, unjust laws, and systems of power? If that's still going on, even if there's not armed conflict, is it peace? What about violence done by attitudes? What about violence done to other people by just sheerly neglecting them and ignoring when they're struggling? You see, when Jesus starts to talk about this idea of peace, we need to ask the question, what is Jesus referring to? What does Jesus mean when he says peace, or blessed are the peacemakers? In Hebrew, the term that's translated peace is the word shalom. So I'll say that together on the count of three. One, two, three. There we go. Oh, you guys do a good job with that. Shalom to you as well. Thank you. So shalom is not about the absence of conflict. It's not kind of this vague, fuzzy idea about, you know, ending war in the world. That's not what shalom is about. Because the word shalom means to be whole, or to be complete. It's looking at the world the way God created it to be, the world the way God intended it to be, the world where everybody has the resources that they need to be able to be whole, about everybody being complete, full, functioning the way that God intended them to function. That's a little bit different than just the absence of war. But in reality, shalom is more than just people. It's about all of God's creation. When God's shalom is present, it means that everything in God's creation is ordered the way it's supposed to be. It's concerned with justice and righteousness in all areas, not just between people. It's about, if you think of it this way, it's about restoring God's original plan for creation. Right? Because when you look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it's God creates everything in the world with this specific function and this way that it's supposed to work together, and then it gets all confused and messed up. So then you go over to the very end of the book. So that was the first two chapters of the Bible. You go over to the very end, the last two chapters of Revelation, and you get this picture of the New Jerusalem where everything is restored to the way it was supposed to be, you know, and then we have all the stuff in between, which is where we live still today, in the in-between there. So shalom is like saying, if you take Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22 and kind of wrap it up all together, that's shalom, right? One more illustration. I need some volunteers, like about six. Not everybody at once. Come on, six people, just come on up just for a minute. It won't take but a second or a minute. You can imagine, all right, guys, just form a circle. Just form a circle around me. Need a couple more. Come on. Come on. Come on, Abel, you can help me out too. No? Okay, maybe not. All right, one, two, three. We got, okay, here you go. Fill in. Okay, so if you imagined a wheel, like a wagon wheel, turned on, like taken off and turned on its side, and if we were like a spoked wheel here, shalom would be something like this. I, as the center of the wheel, first have to have my relationship with God correct. I have to have everything the way God intended it to be, where I'm listening to God, where I'm communing with God, where I'm working with God. That would be kind of like the axle turning the wheel. But then I've got to have my relationship to each person here has got to be right for the wheel to work right. My relationship with Chris has to be right, with Joe Wade, with Liz. Everything has to be right for the wheel to be able to turn right. So the shalom works this way, peace here, peace, correct relationship with these people here. But then here's the other thing. As I'm standing here in the middle, if the relationship between Liz and Joe Wade is kind of, you know, fractured, you come this way, our wheel is not going to turn right. This thing is not going to work the way it's supposed to. And if my mom were kind of messed up with Chris here and they have some issues, you know, this wheel is not going to work the way it's supposed to work right. the way it was intended to work. So, shalom, working for peace, means that I work with my relationship with God, I work in my relationship with each individual person. But then, if I see other issues, it's I go to work to repair the issues in the world so that things are the way that they are supposed to be for all of it to work together. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. All right. Do you see that? Yes, thank you. I'll give them a hand. Does that make sense a little bit? That's kind of what Jesus is talking about. When he says about peace, he's talking about that kind of peace. Now, we also have to keep in mind that this is Jesus talking. So here's a few scriptures that refer to this Jesus. Isaiah says this, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Prince of Shalom. That we were talking about there. In the book of Colossians, Paul describes it this way. He says, in him, Jesus, in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. That's what Jesus did. This is who's talking. Jesus, who comes and who his very role in the world is to bring peace between us and God. This is Jesus who comes down from the Father. And God the Father is described this way in 1 Corinthians. It says, God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. The same Jesus who later, after he had left this world, he sends the Holy Spirit to continue his ministry in the world. And the Spirit that Jesus sends was described this way. He says, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the thing of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So this Holy Spirit that Jesus sends says, keep your mind on him. That is life. That is peace. It also says this about the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The very fruit that the Spirit works in our lives is peace is part of it. The same Spirit who, in Ephesians, it talks about the Spirit works to bring unity and peace among the body, to make one body in Christ Jesus. Jesus' early followers, those that came right after his ministry, they wrote about this, peace as well. This is a little bit longer, but it says, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Seek peace and pursue it. It was in the psalm that we read during the during our time of praise and worship. Seek peace and pursue it. They also wrote this, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is the early followers of Jesus. Kind of expanding on what he was talking about. It's also interesting to note, though, what Jesus did not say in this beatitude. Jesus did not say, blessed are those who prefer peace. He did not say, blessed are those who wish for peace, or those who await peace, or those who love peace, or those who praise peace, or those who want peace. All of those are passive. He didn't say that. Jesus says, blessed are those who make peace. Blessed are those who work for it, who strive for peace, who are active in bringing peace. Now, notice something else Jesus didn't say. Jesus did not say, blessed are the peacekeepers. Right? Now, I grew up a self-described conflict coward. I don't mind saying that today, but a conflict coward. Now, our family growing up did a pretty good job of being peacekeepers. Because, you see, one way to keep peace is just to avoid conflict, right? One way to keep peace is just avoid conflict. Just, you know, don't talk about it. Maybe if you ignore it, it might go away. Or you just try to kind of please everybody, right? You know people like that, right? You know people that are just try to make everybody happy and just want to keep things peaceful, right? If you were a middle child, you might know something about that, about keeping the peace. But Jesus did not say, blessed are the peacekeepers. Instead, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, an interesting thing about peacemakers. You all have your scratch piece of paper. Everybody pull that out. Anybody grow up enjoy a good snowball fight? Good snowball fight? Okay, need all of you to take your piece of paper, wad it up for me. All right, so I need to give you guys a little bit of a pep talk here because you're outnumbered from this group over here. So, you know, freedom! You know, Braveheart, we're going to do a little bit of that. Okay, here we go. So on the count of three, this side versus this side, and we're gonna go for it. You ready? Ready? One, two, three, go! Okay, all right, good, fantastic, yep, okay. Now, all right, so, did you catch that? That the person who wades into the middle of a conflict gets hit by both sides. The person who actively puts themselves into the middle of conflict doesn't just get hit by one side, they get hit by both sides. Because both sides know if you are trying to be a peacemaker, if you're trying to be a mediator, if you're trying to go into the midst of conflict and make peace, both sides know this guy's not on my side. This girl's not on my side here. You know, they're on both sides. They're pointing out the good and the bad in both sides. They're saying, look, you've got a good point here, but you're wrong here. You've got a good point here, but you're wrong here. They're seeking to be a mediator. Because, see, we live in a polarized world. We live in a world that says you're either with us or you're with them, right? You're either for us or you're against us. And it could be anything. It's like, you know, sports teams, you know, you're either with us or you're with them. It could be politics. You're with us or you're with them. It could be two friends that are having a conflict. It could be, you know, a couple that you know and you've been friends with a couple and all of a sudden their marriage is breaking up and they're saying, you got to choose sides. Are you on his side or are you on my side? Which side are you on here? It could be anything. You got to pick sides. You can't be on both sides. You can't walk in the middle. But the Jesus way is to wade right into the middle of it. It's the third way. It says, no, I don't pick sides. I bring peace in the middle. I seek to bring peace in the middle of it. That refuses to pick one way or the other, that can look at each side and say, you're both right and you're both wrong. It's the way that tries to bridge the gap to be the presence of Christ, who the scripture we just read says, is our peace. Jesus Christ is our peace. There's a quick clip from a movie. It's kind of hard to see, and it's a little soft, so you have to listen closely, but it's a movie called Dead Man Walking. You guys have ever seen that movie with Susan Sarandon and Sean Penn. And Susan Sarandon plays, it's a true story, she plays a nun. Her name is Sister Helen Prejean, and she has been gone to reach out to this guy who's been put on death row, and he's asked her to be his spiritual guide and spiritual mentor. And in this clip, she's gone back to visit the family of the girl that he has been convicted of murdering. So let's just take a quick look at this. It's only about a minute long.
So what made you change your mind?
Change my mind?
What made you come round to our side?
I wanted to come and see if I could help y'all and pray with you.
Thank you.
But he asked me to be his spiritual advisor, to be with him when he dies.
And what did you say?
That I would.
Well, we thought you'd changed your mind. We thought that's why you were here.
No.
How can you come here?
How can you do that? How can you sit with that scum?
Mr. Percy, I've never done this before. I'm trying. I'm just trying to follow the example of Jesus, who said that every person is worth more than their worst act.
My parents raised me to respect the religious. Sister, I think you need to leave this house right now. Wait a minute. If you really are sorry, and you really do care about this family, you want to see justice done for our murdered child. Now, you can't have it both ways. You can't befriend that murderer and expect to be our friend, too.
You brought the enemy into this house, sister.
You better go.
Bye, Dylan.
Right, you can't reach out to those people and still be friends with us. You have to choose sides. You're either for us or against us. But did you catch the sister's words? She said, I'm just trying to follow the example of Jesus. Because if you try to be a peacemaker in the world, you're going to take shots from all sides. It's going to happen. Because you're going to refuse to play the us versus them game. You're not going to do that. You're going to seek a third way. Another well-known peacemaker in history was an Italian man from the town of Assisi. And his name was Francesco Bernardone. We know him better today as St. Francis of Assisi. Now, there's a famous prayer that is attributed to St. Francis that was on the card in the back when you came in. And if you didn't get one, there's more back there. Listen to these words. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. This is the prayer of a peacekeeper. This is the prayer of a peacemaker. The prayer of, as Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This is the prayer of a child of God. Basically, he's saying, wherever I find hatred in the world, Lord, let me not return hate for hate or violence for violence, but let me sow seeds of love. Where there are wrongs that have been committed in the world, let me sow seeds of forgiveness, not seeds of judgment. Where I find those struggling with doubt, let me live my life in faith. Let me carry them through that time of darkness and doubt. And when I am in times of doubt, let them carry me through that darkness as well. He's saying, when I find places of despair in the world, let me bring the hope of Christ. The hope that what you see right now, the despair you're in right now, is not the end of the story. That God is working all things together to eventually bring that perfect shalom that He has planned. He's saying, where I find corners of darkness, those places that are hidden away from the world, let me shine the light of Christ's love there. Let me expose evil in the world. Let me unmask powers of evil and darkness. Let me shine the light of Christ. Where there are tears, where there's mourning, where there's sadness, let me offer a shoulder to cry on. Let me offer a word of encouragement. Let the joy of God so fill my life that it spills over the top onto everything that comes across my path. Let it spill over on everyone who needs a taste of heavenly laughter and joy. And the prayer is saying, God, I don't ask these things for myself. I don't ask them so that I will be better, not out of selfishness, but so that my life might be an offering to you and to others. He's saying, help me not to be worried about how others are going to lift me up when I'm down, but let me go and lift them up. Let me be focused on that. Let me not worry when others don't understand me, when they don't get why it is that I do what I do, but give me patience and wisdom to put myself in their shoes. Help me to get into their mind. Help me to get into their hearts and let me understand from their perspective. That is the task of a peacemaker. He's saying, let me not worry about being loved as much as I worry about loving every single person that God brings across my path. And he says essentially at the end, in the same way I forgive others, God, you're going to forgive me. In the mercy that I show to others, I will find your mercy pouring out on me. In dying to myself, I will find your life filling up my lungs, coursing through my veins, your very life carrying me from here to eternity. That's essentially what St. Francis is saying. And that's what this world needs. This world needs people who will pray this kind of prayer every day. People who are going to live this prayer with their lives. People who are willing to go and to be peacemakers. Do you know what the reality is? The reality is it's often much more difficult to work for peace with those who are closest to us. Right? It's a lot more difficult sometimes to be that peacemaker, to seek peace when it's an issue with a spouse or relative, a close family member, a coworker, an employer, an employee, a neighbor, those people that we rub shoulders with every day. Sometimes that's even more difficult than the big heroic acts. And I'm pretty certain that as you think about those things, that list of people, spouse, family member, coworker, employer, employee, neighbor, people might be coming to your mind. Issues might be coming to your mind. Some of you immediately thought of a conflict that you've been having at work and you're going, gotten sucked into that. Some of you have thought about an ongoing feud with a neighbor that you just dispute that's just gone on for years. Some of you have thought about struggles in your marriage. Some of you thought about that this week is Thanksgiving and we're going to get together with our big fat Greek family or whatever kind of family, your big fat Appalachian family, and sit around the table together. And there's going to be all of these issues. Some of them that people have just kind of glossed over. But it's the same kind of issues that have been going on for years and years. And you know, man, that stuff's going to get brought up again. And I'm going to get sucked into those same disputes and those same arguments with my Uncle Fred that I cannot stand. You know that's coming up. And so the invitation for you this morning, for all of us this morning, is going to be a little different. I'm going to ask Daniel to go ahead and come on up here. In Scripture, it talks about that there is a time for the church to come around an individual and to anoint them with oil. And it talks about for different reasons. Sometimes because they're ill, because they're sick, it says have the elders come and anoint them with oil. In the Old Testament, there are many examples of places where people will come in and will anoint a person or will anoint a place with oil. And basically the reason they do that is to say, I'm setting this aside for a specific purpose. I'm asking the Spirit to work in a special way in this situation for this specific purpose. So the invitation this morning is this. If you're here and you say, I know that there is a situation like that in my life. I know that there's a situation where there has been just conflict going on. Where there have been issues that I need to go and to be a peacemaker. I don't need to get sucked into that us versus them kind of way of doing things. I need to find a third way. Some of you are saying, I have been that peacekeeper for so long. You know, I've just tried to keep everybody happy and tried to kind of avoid the conflict and not get in the middle of all of that, you know, unnecessary junk. And you're saying, but Jesus is calling me to something different. Some of you this morning might say, I know that I am a conflict coward. I know that I hate it. I can't stand it. But Jesus is calling us all to be peacemakers, to step into the middle of the issue and to bring words of Christ, words of healing and of reconciliation. So this morning, if you say, that's me, I know that situation. I can think of that, and I need somebody to pray for me. I need somebody to come up. I need to come up and have somebody anoint my head with oil, just as a reminder that the Spirit is going with you into that situation. The Spirit is there with you, helping you to be the presence of Christ, helping you to be the one to reconcile the us versus them problem, us versus them games that we keep playing over and over and over again. Now, there's nothing magical about the oil. It's just a reminder. It's a reminder that you don't go alone. You don't go by yourself. You go with the Holy Spirit. And you go with the prayers of this church who stands around you and supports you and is praying for you. So what I'm going to do is we're going to sing together this song, a song based on this prayer of St. Francis. And hopefully all of us will pray that and say, Lord, I want to be an instrument of your peace. But if you'd like to step out and come up, Jerry and David are going to stand up here with me. And just come to one of us and allow us to anoint your head with oil, to pray for you, to pray for that situation, and pray that you will be a peacemaker in that situation. But as we do, I'm going to ask Daniel to play and ask you to come as the Spirit leads. This up here? Okay, the words, this would be on the screen for you to continue.
Grab it. tries to understand.